Interested in ghosts? UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Para X Radio and you.
This is Johnny. Johnny is going to use his computer to contact the spirits. His sister Jenny is very curious and watches. Johnny just typed in www.para-x.com and is now communicating with the dead. You go, Johnny. Jenny is excited because now she can listen to shows like Nightwatch with Todd Sheets, Caps Paranormal Radio with David and Tom, Paranormal Awareness with Bill Metz, Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie, Leinster Paranormal Radio Show with Danny and Cormac, and the Ghost Divas Live. One day, the world will be a better place when we can all be like Johnny and Jenny and tune into Para X Radio at www.para-x.com. All paranormal, all the time.
We'll be right back. Shadow government. Strange rituals. New world
shadow
order.
Governments. Strange
buried treasure.
New
planetary mind control. Military cover-up.
Shadow governments. Strange rituals. New world order. Buried treasure. Planetary mind control.
Unidentified flying
objects.
Presidential assassination.
Unidentified flying objects.
Ancient rites.
Pyramids.
Freemasons. Fascists.
Illuminates.
Fascists.
Out there.
It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Well, we pissed and moaned so much in the first half an hour of the show, I forgot to mention a couple things, of course.
Oh, but this is an exciting thing.
This is exciting.
People will really, really, really want to know.
We are going to do another one of our little giveaways tonight. Because we're wild and crazy like that. We give away so much stuff because we can afford it because we're millionaires.
I wish.
Actually, tonight's prize will be...
Trying to convince my banker that.
Yeah. Tonight's prize will be a brand spanking new CD. We've been meaning to give away a lot of these and haven't had any time. By the band EVP. It's actually a Project EVP. A gentleman from Germany we've had on the show. Scorpios, that's his name.
Yeah.
He sent me about 10 of these things and said, do what you want with them. Give them to anybody you want. We got a copy of this thing, the album, The Postmortem Chronicles of Necromancy. And it's really cool because it's like this really weird music. It's all over the chart. But what makes it cool is that he works EVPs into all this stuff that he's recorded over the years. So this is some really interesting stuff. A really good package, too. It's a really cool DVD. And it's going to go to the first person to email me right now at where, Bonnie?
ScottAll@ghostlytalk.com.
You didn't say it like you meant it. Say it again, Bonnie.
ScottAll@ghostlytalk.com.
Sexier this time.
ScottAll@ghostlytalk.com.
Now touch my leg while you do that.
ScottAll@ghostlytalk.com.
Now rub my leg.
I am.
Now rub it some more.
ScottAll@ghostlytalk.com.
All right, we get it. All right.
First email. I'm watching the inbox right now. Doug, who do we have on the line?
Well, we have a 30-year-old veteran investigator. Philip Spencer has amassed hundreds of case files in his research of strange events that have occurred around the world.
Uh-huh.
Bigfoot, however, is the author's preferred area of research. As in Anderson County, Kentucky, there have been many sightings of the enigmatic creature known the world over. His first book, The Wild Man of Kentucky, The Mystery of Panther Rock, entails these sightings and much more, taking the reader on a journey into the heart of the dark and bloody ground, one of the most active paranormal places in the nation, also known as the Fraser Land.
Mm.
The website is www.philipspencer.net. That's PhilipSpencer.net. That, of course, will be linked up at ghostlytalk.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Ghostly Talk would like to welcome Philip Spencer to the show. Welcome, Philip.
Oh, thank you so much. Great to be here.
Thanks for putting up with us there for a few minutes of my
complaint. Sorry.
We got to give away these CDs.
Right.
We want people
that's right.
Mm-hmm. Philip, again, it's really great to have you here. We've had we were supposed to have you on earlier in the year, as in 2009. And you're here, and you sound really good, but I understand you were having some voice problems. We had to wait a little while, but that's why I thank you for so much for joining us, because I know how that can go. We lose our voices all the time around here. It's tough, man. So thanks for being
with
us.
It's back to where I can do these. Not full like it should be, but it's back.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the book, you guys... I'm sorry, go ahead, Doug.
No, I was going to say thank you.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you're welcome, Doug.
No, thank Philip for... forget it.
Well, Doug, in the book, this isn't just, you know, about the wild man of Kentucky, as far as the book's concerned.
Although we want to know, what other wild man is there?
Because we know a few.
We
actually
know quite a few, yeah.
Well, can we... Yeah, we actually
I might
do
a book on them later.
I can help you out with that.
Well,
I'll get with you later.
I guess... I guess we could start with that, because I know there's a lot of stories in here. I mean, can we start? Is that a good starting point for us, is the wild man of Kentucky? Or I mean,
well, the word wild man is a it means Bigfoot.
Okay.
That's a term that you'll find sometimes in a Native American legend, but you'll find it historically also. and it's a term for Bigfoot.
Okay.
And that's just one of the creatures that's been spotted in this area. We have a picture of a track that's over 18 inches long.
You mean we have, as in the foot? I mean
correct. Yes, wow. It's a foot track. We have recordings. We have some of the most credible and just compelling testimony of encounters that's ever been heard. And like I say, there's ghosts, there's strange lights, there's animal mutilations, there's UFOs. This area has so much going on that it's just, it's hard to try to grasp what's happening. And there's a cave that's known as Panther Rock. And it all seems to happen around this cave.
Okay. Well, I guess maybe we can start with that. Because
we've heard
of areas like this before.
Yeah, we heard the Bridgewater Triangle.
Bridgewater Triangle is one of them.
Of course, there's the famous Bermuda Triangle down in the watery areas down near Bermuda.
They just lose stuff there.
Yeah, but there's the Bridgewater Triangle out in Massachusetts and Rhode
by
Island.
Cape,
kind of stuff,
by Cape Cod.
Cod.
Yeah.
And there's Skinwalker Ranch, George Knapp's book.
Yep, there's the Skinwalker Ranch out west. And now there's and this is a lot closer to home, the Fraser Land, because it's like right down there in Kentucky. So I'm wondering whereabouts is this and who lives there? Why do they stay?
Well,
I want to know everything.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is in Anderson County,
mm-hmm.
and that's about 20 miles west of Lexington mm-hmm. and 50 miles east of Louisville. Mm-hmm. And it's land that's up on the plateaus of the Kentucky River, fairly rough land. The total acreage is really unknown for what's known as the Fraser Land, thousands of acres. And the people that live there are just good, down-to-earth people. And other people have asked me, well, why do they stay there? And that's a good question. Well, the reason is because this is their home.
Mm-hmm.
But now, there have been one case that I speak about in the book and the DVD. A family actually packed up and left because their children encountered the creature known as Bigfoot. And it terrified them so bad that they just moved. Now, the name, the Fraser Land,
mm-hmm.
comes from an elderly woman who said told a friend of mine that a family moved in, settled all this land. Their name was Fraser. And then one day they just left. They just packed up what they had and were gone. And the elderly lady said that this is the Fraser Land, and that's where all this is happening.
Wow. Do you think maybe they brought a curse, or is it like a intersection of ley lines? Or
yeah,
I mean, it's
the 38th parallel runs through it.
Okay.
However, I could really see no correlations as far as the ley lines or anything, but I think it's this cave.
Interesting.
There's something, I mean, there's been things happen at this cave. I saw a strange blue light come up out of this cave. Myself and three others witnessed this. There's been stories of these lights back at this cave. And there's shadow creatures.
Mm-hmm.
There's other animal tracks that can't be identified. Big tracks in this area. This is all within a few miles of this cave.
Mm-hmm.
And as to what's going on there, I've talked about the vortex, some kind of dimensional portal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that it's just amazing how many things are happening there.
Now, and these are obviously, you've talked to a lot of people around that area. We've talked about the people already a little bit. And, I mean, I'm sure a lot of these people have, I mean, what's maybe one of the most, like, notable stories you've heard from some people around there as far as any of the phenomena involved?
Oh, man.
a huge question.
Yeah, putting him on the spot.
If you want a minute, well,
there's a gentleman by the name of the X-Farmer.
The X-Farmer? Who
owns the X-Farmer is what I call him. Mm-hmm. He wanted to remain anonymous.
Oh, excellent.
And he had three farm dogs, big farm dogs, that got into a fight with a creature. And
how did the dogs fare?
they didn't fare very well.
Ooh.
He lives in a somewhat remote area, but he could see the fight. Mm-hmm. And he was some kind of strange looking grayish creature, over 100 pounds. The next morning he found two of the Dobermans with their faces ripped, just big gashes.
Ooh.
The third biggest dog was never heard from again.
Ooh. That's interesting, because a gray creature, was it like a Bigfoot creature, or was this more like a...
This, what he could see, it was on all fours. And it had a strange look to it. And he could see it take its front paw, I guess, and slap his dogs. And he would hear his dog scream and then attack it again. But during this whole fight, at no time did this creature ever make a sound. Never.
That's
interesting. It didn't growl or yelp or...
Nothing.
Nothing?
All he heard was his dogs.
Barking, I imagine.
And yelping.
Yeah. These were three big, rough, tough farm dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that... This was their land, and something like that comes on it, there's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever this was, the ex-farmer is convinced that the biggest one was killed and carried off.
Wow.
And the other two had huge gashes in their face. Huge.
This is amazing, because it's not unlike, you know, you hear of animals getting in fights with other animals.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so you hear about that.
Oh, of course.
You hear about dogs protecting their land,
mm-hmm.
right? But usually when an animal is in a fight, it also tries to intimidate with vocalizations and growling.
Yes.
And the gray thing didn't do any of that.
Nothing. And... I was mentioning earlier that some tracks had been found.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That were unidentifiable. Well, one of these tracks, we call it the Fraser Mud Track. And a week after it was found, now it looks like a cat or dog track, only it's over 4 inches across.
And wow.
That's a huge track.
Yes.
And, a week after that was found, I interviewed this man and woman and spoke to them personally about this.
Mm-hmm.
Within a mile of where that track was found, it was an elderly man and woman, owned a large farm. They heard a crash outside. They ran out and looked, and one of their cows, a 700-pound cow, came crashing through a gate. Its right eye was ripped out, and its ears were torn off down to the bone.
Ooh.
And its back was ripped. Now, this is a 700-pound cow.
Mm-hmm.
And this is central Kentucky. And the farmer told me, he said, Philip, he said, I know my land. I know what's on it. He said, I'm going to tell you. He said, I don't know what did this. But it wasn't nothing that's around here. He said, this wasn't dogs. He said, I don't know what did this, but it was something that's not supposed to be here.
Well, concerning the cow, you said the cow came crashing through the gate.
It was spooked and it was running home.
It was running. It was running.
Right.
Okay.
It came from backfields.
It sounded like it just came flying through the gate. I'm like, what the heck picked up a 700-pound cow and threw it?
No. It was running for its life to get back home
to
safety.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. That's still, I mean, not any less, insane to see a cow.
I don't think I could rip a cow's ear off without endangering my own life or even physically.
They called a veterinarian, and they came and saved the cow.
Oh, that's good news.
Good.
Yeah, but the vet didn't know what did it. Had no idea.
Just to add a point, I mean, I've been around plenty of cows.
Right.
What kind of point is
that? I was getting to it, but you guys jumped all over me before I decided when I was trying to make my point. See, Philip, what I have to put up with around here, man, this is what I have to put up with all the time around here.
And you love it.
No, cows, I mean, they come off docile like that, right? My Uncle Alfred's property in Tennessee, for example. But if you really poke at them, they can intimidate you a bit. They can snort. They can do little, not bulls, but they
any 700-pound animal.
Yeah,
is gonna put up quite a tussle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I kind of had a couple scare the crap out of me because I was a young kid, poking them with a stick, thinking I'm 20, and they and they just do one little jump, and I go running down the hill to my Uncle Alfred's house, So yeah, I mean they're not useless animals just to be made steaks out of like most people think. I mean they can hold their own, I think, in most battles. Like you just said, a 700-pound animal, they're hard to deal with.
Right, but something. Something really ferocious attacked that bear. And this is all within a couple of miles of the cave.
Do you think, we've heard a couple stories here. Do you think this may all be the same animal, or do you think it may be, as far as the animals are concerned, do you think it could be, or different ones maybe?
I think there's multiple events here, multiple creatures. What made that track could have been what attacked the cow.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't what made the 18-plus-inch track.
That, we believe, is the Sasquatch.
Right. We have a recording.
Yes.
That came from the area where for the track was found.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to listen to it a little later.
Yeah, whenever you want to, we can get into that too. But I have that ready to go also for us.
Well, actually, since we're talking about it, I think we should probably play it before the break.
You want, and we can play it after the break.
Then we can
do whatever the hell we want.
And then, I know. but we can. I'd like to play it before the break.
You want
to
give it a listen?
Can think about it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, if you'd like, I can give you a little.
Set us up. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
Set us up, please.
I have some equipment with the X-Farm. And one of the things I left him was a small handheld digital recorder. And I told him, I said, look, with everything that's going on here, if something happens, keep this handy and grab it and just turn it on. Well, let's see, this was in, I think I'm right, November of 2007, somewhere around there.
Uh-huh.
He was out on his porch of his cabin. About 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, he heard this sound start. He grabbed the recorder, and he recorded it. But here's something for everybody to think about. This sound was 350 yards away. It was behind a hill, approximately 100 feet down, and it was behind the cabin. Notice what I want everybody to do is pay very close attention to the dogs. He had two dogs laying in the yard by his porch. But everyone listened very closely to those dogs. And when we're finished, I'll tell you what is so unusual about them.
Okay. We're going to give it a shot. Here we go.
Thank you.
There we go. Now, go ahead, Doug.
Well, that's interesting. I just want to recap what I think I heard.
Damn eerie, I'll say that.
I heard yeah, this really eerie howling.
Was it slowed down? Was that audio, was it slowed down at all, Philip?
No.
Okay.
That's right off of, that's just been converted. I converted it from a wave to an MP3.
Okay.
I turned it up a little and cleaned a few pops out.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, because you could hear that he was holding it, and you can hear
right.
some of the pop.
It may have been the wind like, also hitting
when
it,
he
too.
Was, yeah, when he was moving.
Right. It's a small handheld recorder.
Yeah, and I'm used to, we do that, you know, in ghost hunting, we'll pop a recorder
right.
on, and we'll say, okay, at 7:15, a car drove by or whatever, and you can
right.
hear you working with it and moving it. So I understand
right.
cleaning that up. It sounded like you said this was 350 yards away, which was like quite a ways, behind the cabin or the house,
yes.
and then also behind a hill in and 100
right.
feet down. So whatever
right.
was making the howl had to have been a pretty big beast.
Oh, I certainly wouldn't want to have been anywhere near it.
Yeah.
Well, the sound is just eerie. We talked about this last
it's
night for
perfect.
A minute, Phil.
Yes.
Well, we talked last night for a second, in the evening, and I mentioned that I listened to the audio, and it's just that, ooh.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's an eerie sounding piece of audio.
And then you're right about the dog's response.
Yeah.
Because the dogs, which are sitting on, you know, they're right near the front porch or on the front porch, they're right there with the guy. So, of course, they're louder because they're right there, but I heard like
yeah,
a bark, but then I heard them reacting in a way that they shouldn't react.
Well, here's the deal. The thing about the dogs is they did nothing. These dogs, they were there when we were filming,
mm-hmm.
and one of them had to be put up. He couldn't be let loose around us. These dogs are very protective,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't do anything. They were puzzled. The ex-farmer said he'd never seen them act like that.
Wow.
They did nothing. They were confused. They were looking in that direction, tilting their head with their ears perked up. And he said they actually looked confused.
Weird.
How interesting.
Let's take a break because we got to
get to
the
news. I think it's a good idea.
But I want to talk more about this, though.
I've got something else about this to tell you also.
Let's hold off because
I really
want to get it. Yeah, and we'll listen to it again after the break, too.
And then
okay.
we'll learn more. This amazing stuff. Don't forget the website is www.philipspencer.net. And, of course, we'll link that up at ghostlytalk.com.
Yep, yep.
Next up is the news with Bonnie Vent. And then we're going to come back and talk more about this Fraser Howl, the Fraser area, and hopefully learn about the cave and of course the any little gems from the book because wow, the Wild Man of Kentucky, the Mystery of Panther Rock we're talking about right after the news.
Ghostly Talk.
Paranormal investigation groups all over the world are looking for answers. We often never had the chance to get even the tiniest peek at who or what is on the other side. CPR, or Cooperative for Paranormal Research, is one of these groups. We are dedicated to finding the answers, dedicated to finding evidence of the paranormal, and dedicated to proving that some places are
terribly haunted.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vent. Do you need a celebrity to promote your product or service? Planning a big event and want that little extra star power? Want to have lunch or dinner with the cast of Leave It to Beaver? Or dinner in a concert with Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits? Then go to Genesis Creations Entertainment at www.genesiscreations.biz and book a celebrity today. Of all the planets in our solar system, which is your favorite? It's not surprising that many people choose Saturn because of its uniquely beautiful rings. So for all you Saturn lovers, this month's for you. Saturn officially reaches its opposition on March 8th, and this week it appears in our sky opposite the Sun, rising in the east at sunset and lying at its closest to Earth. You should have little trouble finding it because it's the brightest object in the eastern sky after dark, just below the back end of Leo the Lion. As Saturn approaches its spring and fall positions, the rings close down and become more difficult to see from Earth. And when turned completely edge onto us, they nearly vanish, leaving only a tiny, faint, and nearly featureless yellow disk. Looking at these thin rings from the side removes the glare and gives astronomers a great opportunity to see the icy moons near the planet. Right now is one of those times. The rings are inclined only about 2.6 degrees towards us and appear as a razor-thin line crossing the planet's disk. They will open a bit by late springtime, but by early September they will disappear from view. If you don't have your own telescope, call your local planetarium, science museum, or amateur astronomy club to see when their next star party will be so you don't miss this remarkable apparition of Saturn. Some people in Hawaii reported seeing a green fireball. Others said it was orange and scary. They didn't know what they were looking at about 9 p.m. on February 9th. The NASA Solar System Ambassador had about 18 people at a star show that night. He said they were waiting for Saturn to come into view at about 9.05 p.m. when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the streaking bullet of a meteor comes ripping across the sky, heading downward at a 45-degree angle toward the ocean. As this meteor came closer to the crowd, it suddenly lit up brighter than a full moon. This thing was the largest, brightest meteor he had ever seen. Then it lit up into a brilliant clear blue for a split second, and then a brilliant red, and then disappeared. People elsewhere on Oahu and throughout the nation reported seeing similar events. University of Hawaii astronomer David Tholen said possibly it was a new meteor shower from a clump of cometary material that had not yet dispersed enough to become an annual shower. There are no meteor showers this time of year, but sporadic meteors occur year-round that are not associated with any particular shower. For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you can join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vent.
The goal of the demonic is death. Plain and simple, it is death.
All of a sudden, he gets slapped in the face and he flies against the wall. And his handprints appear across the face.
Very scary here. Everything about it is scary. The work in this field, our face is very
short. It was escalating to where objects started moving.
This is a war that we're fighting. What you're talking about does not freaking human terms. It is from another time and place.
Humanology Today. Class is now in session.
Featuring Kenneth Deal, Alan Glassell, and Deborah Johnson.
Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. Central, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Only on the I Am Haunted Radio Network.
This is Ghostly Talk.
another announcement for you guys. As we took up the first half an hour making mistakes,
with
redoing
our
intros, and generally complaining and being annoying. Not to make you notable. I mentioned last week about the lost archives.
Yes, there were lost archives.
This big, big dramatic thing that I said I'd be taking care of this week. Well,
oh no,
it was a busy week.
Yeah,
but I have them, and they're on my desktop. I'm gonna take care of them and get those up for you guys. They're pretty cool, like I said. I just gotta get them cleaned up, and I'm gonna get them up there for you guys to check out. So as soon as they hit there, my goal will be to get them done this week. I promise. Yep. I'll get them done. Cut me a little slack. It's been a nutty week. So, but yeah, that's going on. I just wanted to throw it out there too. I didn't forget about you guys, Doug. What's up? Help.
We're still talking with 30-year veteran investigator Philip Spencer. And author of the book, The Wild Man of Kentucky, The Mystery of Panther Rock.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, all kinds of interesting creatures.
Yeah.
And what they do. And of course, they've got everything there, ghosts and a cave. That's Panther Rock, the cave.
Yeah.
And the whole area around there called the Fraser Land. Really, really fascinating. The website is www.philipspencer.net.
Mm-hmm.
You can look up all that information. But meanwhile, we still want to talk, Philip, we want to talk a little bit more about this Fraser Howell recording. Because, I mean, the fellow was kind of, you left a recorder with a guy who was having, you know, some
obviously
terrifying
going on,
things
yeah.
going on.
Right.
And he's
right.
sitting on his porch in November of 2007, and this starts happening. So he clicks on the recorder, and it's just really eerie and weird. Do we want to hear it one more time and then hear the rest?
Yeah.
Can we listen to it one more time, because it really is eerie, and I want to creep people out because it's really good stuff.
That's what we're here to do. It's
yes.
our job.
Yes.
Here we go. We'll give us another listen. Here we go.
I am absolutely impressed with the way that the dogs reacted, because
yeah.
that is very
exactly.
interesting. It's just, wow, that is definitely something that I wouldn't have expected big farm dogs, you know, to react.
That's right, exactly. And the ex-farmer was stunned by their behavior also.
Right, because he's lived with these dogs. He knows that they're
right.
farm dogs. They're gonna be, you know, boisterous and outgoing and protective of the
yes.
land, but they're puzzled and kind of whimpering a little bit.
Exactly.
Like,
now, there's something else. Ever since this was first played and people started hearing it, I've been getting reports that when this would be played over radio stations, that people's cats, the terms would go berserk. Go wild.
Interesting.
I mean, numerous emails. People telling me from all over the world about what their cats do when they hear this howl. Not every time. I've had a few where they said, I have cats, and they did nothing. But over and over, I get these reports about the Fraser howl making cats just go berserk.
Well, this will be interesting. If you're listening on an iPod, because a lot of people download the show and put it on their iPod and they
exactly.
make it to work. If you're listening on your iPod, when you get home
from work,
play this for your cat and see if the cat does something.
Correct.
The cat could do one of things. It could be like, why are you bothering me? or it might react in a way
that... I'll try it on Amber's cat and see if she... Well, that cat's so lazy.
Oh, well, yeah.
Asriel don't do anything. No, well... Here's a question I have. This is an interesting idea that you're throwing out there, Doug. What we could do, if you don't mind, Philip, I mean, I We're on the air. But hey, you know, if we, I can actually, right, this file you sent me, would you mind if we put it up on our site for people to download the file?
Oh, that's perfectly fine.
Okay, all right. When I put the archive up tonight, guys, or if you're listening to the podcast or whatever it is, if you're listening to a replay, the file will be up at the Ghostly Talk website on our archives page where this particular archive for this show will be, in the on-demand archives. We've done that before in the past. We'll put this file up there. And that way, I mean, yeah, because I mean, you're going to lose fidelity with podcast stuff and all that.
Well, that's true.
We'll put the raw file up here so you can use the real deal that Philip sent us personally.
And then and play it on your computer speakers, and then see if the see if your home animals,
see if your cats claws your eyes out or something,
are either interested or not.
Any information, I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Do you have an email address? Would you like people to email you, Philip?
You can go to philipspencer.net, and on that page you'll see the word contact. Click it. That's my email.
Oh, perfect.
Or if you're feeling really lazy and you want to make me work harder, just email scottl@ghostlytalk.com. I'll be happy to forward it to Philip for you.
That's right.
Wow. This is really fast. And it's a little experiment that you can get in on, because the more data, positive or negative, and it's not really positive or negative. It's just, either there's a reaction or there's not.
Yeah.
It's an easy thing to... to observe and then tell Philip about it.
Right.
And he can, and with this data, you can compile a little chart.
See what's going on.
Or
maybe there's something to this audio. Yeah, I agree.
Well, I'd certainly like to know why cats have this reaction. Dogs don't. Dogs never respond to it.
Interesting.
It very.
But you said that the dogs at the farmer's house where this was recorded at,
puzzled.
They more, they sat there tilting their heads,
right,
kind of going,
what's going on?
What is this thing?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so it's so puzzling. So much is going on in this area. It's just so puzzling.
Well, let's talk about something. Let's get into something. You mentioned ghosts also. There's been mention of there's been ghosts seen there.
There's been reports of other strange animals, large, odd-looking black cats. There's a ghost reports all in the Fraser land.
Mm-hmm.
And what's intriguing, I'm still getting reports. This has not stopped. It's ongoing. And... It's like the gift that just keeps on giving. it's just, if you look around at stories, you have one good story in an area, maybe two. But this place, it has everything. UFOs, bizarre things of nature. Animal mutilations. I mean, it just goes, the Bigfoot reports, the sightings, just stunning. A man and his son, which can be seen on the DVD, have an amazing report. So it's just so much stuff. It's just unbelievable.
But the people in the area who live there, now you said the Frasers themselves, ended up just leaving. And yike. And then you said, was that the family, or was there one other family who just left, and then everyone else just sort of stays and lives with it?
Well, the story of the Frasers apparently was in the 1700s, and they came in to settle this land.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way it was told. And then one day they just left. They were gone. And nobody knows why. Yes. I suspect I know why. If I lived in this area and had all of this occurring, I might just leave overnight myself.
If my house was filled with a hole
I'm paranoid enough with the human beings that I know are human. I don't want to be dealing with aliens and Bigfoots and ghosts
all the time. The ex-partner and his family, they will not go out of the house unless they're armed. Their children absolutely have stopped all camping. their friends don't come over to camp anymore. That's all over with.
It's gotten that bad.
That bad. Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, the one question I do have to ask, though, I mean, this begs to be asked, is that we have this area with all this reported activity. Right?
Right.
I mean, and it's across the board, you know. I mean, all the stuff we talk about here, all the good stuff. I'm wondering if you've asked people this, if this has come up, though, in conversations, or you've asked people this question, is that, you know, once you get something going, I mean, and I'm not saying this is not what I'm saying what it is, but it's a question that has to be asked, though. We have some things that happen with hysteria where people, you might start with one occurrence, and then another occurrence happens here, and another occurrence happens here. And then after several occurrences in an area like this, people might start getting a little bit on edge. I mean, for God's sake, we just talked about the Bell Witch in the last hour.
And how now even a car breaking down could
they
be
blame
the Bell
Witch, right?
I understand.
Yeah.
However, there are people that live within 1,000 feet of the cave, that don't even know it's there.
Okay.
I mean, this is a rural area. These people are somewhat private.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're really good people that would come and help a neighbor instantly. But it's not, you know, like, I would talk to them, and they had no clue what was going on their neighbor's property. They did not know. But yet, little did they know that they had things that were associated. These sounds. You know, they were telling me about this happening. Well, the people that owned the cow, they had no idea about the other events. They were clueless.
Okay.
And now, these people live within a mile of each other.
Okay.
But, so, you know, I understand what you're saying about...
Yeah.
Psychological aspects of hysteria.
Yeah.
And I don't see that. I really don't. I thought about that. And this is over a period of 30 or 40 years with what I was just dealing with in the book, with of course, going back historically and so forth.
Yeah.
But the ex-farmer and his family, this is the last thing they ever wanted. He's a retired professional. I mean, very credible, smart person.
Uh-huh.
They're all just mystified as what's going on. I mean, we've got rock structures that are just strange back in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
We've got something moving in the woods at night. My team, the reality investigated team, we were just in a... Something happened to us. We don't know what happened. We were seeing lights, shadows. It was like something was leading us away. It was just so strange. But you can read about that in the book and see it on the DVD.
Well, this is incredible. I think it's amazing.
Well, and we're hearing, you know, about, and of course, you know, as you, like in our studies, I mean, the deeper you study into things, you start to see more places like this, like we were talking about the Bridgewater Triangle earlier, like these places, and I don't want to necessarily call them places of power, because I don't know how much power you're getting from them, but they could be related to something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, places of power, you know, places of power that might manifest these things, or, I mean, let's really toke it up right now and say, hey, maybe there is a portal opening up, and these things are coming from somewhere else. I mean, it's definitely
a
possibility.
I often wonder if... You know, I mean, I've sat and thought about this so much.
Yeah.
Is that just kind of a convenient answer? You know, I'm a proponent of multiple dimensions.
Uh-huh.
But in this case, I have to sit and just kind of argue with myself. I mean, when trying to figure out all of this, would that be just sort of a convenient truth to say, well, it's a portal. Everything's coming through it. You know, or is it, you know, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Why all these events, you know, from these very credible witnesses? It's just a beautiful mystery is what this place is. Creepy, scary, and fascinating.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there's... Well, go ahead.
How do you go out and investigate? Because, like, obviously you would
obviously
want to...
Obviously you arm yourself.
Yeah, and keep close together. But I'm wondering, do you guys set time limits and check in and things? Because it sounds kind of dangerous to be out.
We use communication equipment.
Good, okay.
Equipment separately.
Good, because I don't think I want people just to run out, you know, to that area and just start, you know, find one. No, I don't think that's a good idea in this case.
We're not endorsing that either.
No.
Now, if there's people that listen to Kentucky.
That would be a bad mistake.
Yeah, I think you should probably...
bad mistake.
Yeah, I think you should research first, get in touch with Philip, and do it the safe way, because this could actually be dangerous.
Dude, I go out in this area and just take off in the woods. Don't do that.
Mm.
Big mistake.
Well, people out there listening, like I said last week, or I may have been a while back or something like that, I know when you buy your new DVD player, you just want to get right to it and start pushing the buttons and playing the DVDs, but you need to read the manual first.
Yeah, because this particular case, Philip, is an advanced case. I mean, this area is highly advanced, and I don't think that a new ghost hunting group or a new Bigfoot hunting group or whatever should just run out there. I think this one deserves a lot more study and safety skills and survival skills than anything else. And
this is very rough country.
Yeah, and plus introductions to people who can help. I mean, because if you do get in trouble, you're going to need to know people down there.
That's right.
And so you would need somebody to introduce you to people who live there, and you can't just, like, rush out there and go. This is not one of those places.
If I wasn't from this part of the... I lived in this area for 40 years,
mm-hmm.
and I know people.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for that, none of this would have happened. You just can't go to these properties.
Right.
Can't happen.
Right. So I think that it's definitely, this is one of them advanced cases that needs to be studied by people who have the resources and connections to study them, because this is very advanced. And the good thing is you're sharing your research. You're putting it in books, you're putting it in the DVD, on the website. I mean, you're sharing everything that you're learning, which is very commendable.
The purpose of it. I'm looking for answers. Most of the time my answers turn out to be questions.
That's
a good researcher does, though, in this field.
Ask the questions and keep asking the questions.
I've had so much new information come in. I've got several new projects that I'm going to be working on this year. But I didn't think I was going to go back to the Fraser land. For a while.
Right.
But I've got so much new information that I'm starting to think it's going to be hard not to.
Well, it sounds like there's a plethora. I mean, it sounds like there's plenty to write about, I guess.
Yeah.
That's all you can say.
Well, in our discussion tonight, we haven't even covered half of it.
Oh, we never do. This show sucks. We suck. I mean, it happens all the time.
There's so many more things, like the black cats, the big black cats fighting, big wolf-like creatures walking on their back legs. There's so many more stories about this place. And, I cover all of it in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing on the DVD, you get to hear the testimonies, get to see the people, and it's just compelling.
And that's what I liked about the Bell Witch one was the people.
Yeah.
The people telling the things.
Get to the meat of this stuff. That's what I like to see.
I had the unfortunate experience that on Friday the 13th, this past Friday the 13th in February, I unfortunately went to the opening at 12:01 a.m. of Friday the 13th. The movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was absolutely, I walked out, by the way. But one of the things was, the hero of the story or whatever, ends up going to.
They all die. There's no hero. Everybody dies.
There's always one that lives.
Yeah, and this one, who I'm sure would be the one that lived, because I didn't stay to see him live.
They're not reinventing the wheel with that movie.
I was just completely over it. But he goes up, and this little lady who lives in the area,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's going up and showing pictures of his sister or something who had gone missing years ago. And he goes, and he goes up to this little cabin, and then, of course, he gets scared by the dog. Oh, yeah, scary. And then the little lady says something like, you know, people don't know where to step around here, you know, that kind of thing. And what she's doing is she's saying, you know, all these people come to Camp Crystal Lake or whatever it is, and then they die. Well, it's their fault. That's what she's saying, because they keep coming, and they keep coming, and they keep coming, and yeah, they get killed. Well,
yeah.
So they just don't know where to step. Well,
I disagree with her on that. I've seen a bunch of the films. I mean, the same thing happens every time.
Every single time. I know. But I'm wondering if the people who live there, the people who are, you know, in that area, this is a pretty dangerous kind of thing. And I know, like, every night probably isn't full of werewolves and Bigfoot and stuff. But, you know, they must get to know the situation, and they get to know the dangers, and they get to know what's going, you know, how to live there in order to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Are they unsafe? I mean, I know that that you said at night the, you know, ex-farmer and his family are, they don't even go out the house. So they've learned to cope, right?
Right.
Do the people in the area, do they know how to stay safe in this?
Oh, yes.
Wow. Okay, good.
Yes, these people are very self-sufficient and heavily armed.
Another reason not to go poking
in
the
here in Detroit, man. We got something in common.
We've got a common bond.
Yeah.
But I've often thought about that cow. Whatever did that to that cow, I would hate to encounter that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's something, as far as safety, whatever did that, it's not safe to be around.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's obvious. I mean, just judging
right.
A cow. Horrible.
Do you know, I mean, cowhide is, well, they end up making leather out of it, right? I mean, you can't just rip it off. I mean, it's not something you just...
Yeah, the ears were torn off down to the bone.
I don't want to meet that creature.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and something at that time was roaming the Fraser land, and it had a taste for blood.
Well, we're going to have to bring you back on, Phil, because like I said before, we're terrible. We can't get through anything. We have no direction whatsoever here, and we generally need to be removed from the planet. But that's a whole different point. We'd love to have you come back on, though, and talk about some more stuff, Phil. That'd be great if we could get you back on.
Oh, yes. I've been a shadow chaser for many years. And maybe some night we could just talk ghosts.
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
I want to. What about October?
Do we talk ghosts on this show?
On Ghostly Talk, I don't think
so. Complain.
That was another show.
Yeah, that was.
That's a show that's good.
Yeah, talk about another show. This is the other show.
Philip, hang on the line. Don't leave us just yet. Just hang on the line for 1 second, Philip.
Okay, sure.
The book is The Wild Man of Kentucky: The Mystery of Panther Rock. There's a corresponding DVD.
Yeah.
Philip Spencer's website: www.philipspencer.net, philipspencer.net. Of course, that'll be permanently linked up at ghostlytalk.com. Coming up next, Larry Arnold. This is going to be...
I've been waiting years to get this guy on the show. I'm not kidding you.
And for your birthday...
Ironically enough...
Your dream has come true. So Larry Arnold coming up next on Ghostly Talk.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.